Ukraine and go to Poland to punish the master of the manor. But they wreak their revenge against those whom they saw in front of them, those who were the living symbols of the oppression that they were under. And therefore, the Jew who was the money lender, who was the agent of the landlord, he found himself especially vulnerable. But by 1640, the Polish landlords had reasserted their power. The leaders of the rebellion were caught and executed, and the situation calmed down. It was a harbinger of what was to come, but as in all events in history, one never can foretell the future, even when in hindsight it seemed apparent that this little revolution was only going to be the tip of the iceberg. By 1648, the situation had not improved any for the Cossacks or for the peasants, but what happened now was that the peasants and the Cossacks found a leader who would be able to organize them and would make a revolution that would shake the throne of the Tsar. The man's name was Bogdan Khmelnytsky. There is a statue of good old Bogdan today in Kiev, where there is no hesitation to have statues of killers, but there is no memorial, naturally, to the victims. Khmelnytsky was a soldier of fortune. He fought for the Poles and the Cossacks against the Turks. He was a great warrior, but he had a personality that was too attractive, too charismatic, and therefore the senior officers always were frightened of him. He never found advancement in the army. He himself had a number of bad habits, probably was alcoholic, and therefore at this stage of his life, when he was already almost 50, he had very little to show for his service. He was a strong Russian Orthodox believer who hated the Polish landlords for their exploitation of the people, but also for their Roman Catholicism. As we have seen before, the fierce struggle between the Christians themselves always resulted in terrible wars of religion. To a certain extent, his revolution had religious connotations to it. The Polish landlords were Roman Catholic, the peasants and the Cossacks were Russian and Greek Orthodox. He organized bands of outlaws, which always existed, into a large army. And in April 1648, he crossed the Dnieper River going westward, and he proclaimed freedom, the independent state of the Ukraine. He proclaimed freedom for the Cossacks, and he promised, as all revolutionaries do, he promised a chicken in every pot. He promised that comes the revolution, everybody's going to have whatever they want. And they're going to get it from the Polish landlords. The rich will be despoiled. The poor will now inherit the earth. It was a very popular call, and he made the appeal to people who had nothing to lose. That is one of the main things to remember. When you have people, a mass of people who have nothing to lose, so then these types of situations feed on their own dreams. He was able to capture a number of large Polish castles along the way. Every time that he was successful, it just fueled his reputation. More and more people, peasants and Cossacks, came to join him. And finally, in the autumn of 1648, about 5 months after the revolution began, he was able to cross into Poland itself and bring the war to